ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. All sides are expected back at the bargaining table Saturday as an historic UAW strike against GM, Ford, and Stellantis moves into a second day.
The first impact of the strike, Ford announcing it's laying off 600 workers, saying it's a consequence of the strike at the Michigan assembly plants, final assembly and paint departments, because the components built by those employees use materials that must be E-coated for protection.
ABC's Terry Moran in Wayne, Michigan. Special counsel Jack Smith's team is asking a federal judge to impose a narrow gag order on former President Trump. It would limit what he could say about the federal January 6th trial. Mr. Trump says it's an attempt to deprive him of his First Amendment rights. Tropical storm warnings are in effect from Massachusetts to Maine, with Hurricane Lee expected to bring strong wind, heavy rain, and rough surf to coastal New England. Officials in Hawaii are lowering the Maui death toll to 97. This is ABC News. There are some new questions if Vice President Harris is a good fit on a re-election ticket with President Biden. And now many Democrats are offering their endorsement.
Democrats are now rushing to the defense of Vice President Kamala Harris as questions of her electability resurface. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren, who ran against Biden Harris in 2020, offered this pitch Friday.
Vice President Harris is doing a terrific job. She has been the national leader on the fight on abortion. She has been passionate, clear, direct, and unyielding.
Her support comes just days after former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi avoided directly answering if Harris was the best running mate for Biden during a CNN interview. Brittany Shepard, ABC News, Washington.
Just days after a season-ending injury to his Achilles tendon, 39-year-old New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers says he hopes to return to the NFL. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Mino and the Mayor.
We're talking with Tony Mandrich. You're talking about your alcohol problems. Jim kind of mentioned here during the break. He said, yeah, the coaches didn't do anything about it. And I said, didn't do anything about it. They were with the guys.
I mean, nobody forced anybody to drink. Drinking was just part of it. And it was kind of like that stereotype of, you know, being a guy or being an athlete, or it was just part of that.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, Mike, of all the people that your wife knew in Two Rivers, did any of them have a Shetland pony?
Mike, you're a new listener. John,
for Jim's some reason, the only person in the history of Two Rivers that had a Shetland pony when he was a kid.
Star. He was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. I'd come home from school, ride him. He's a great horse. And his Shetland pony, we had him. We didn't. It was great.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how everybody's joking now.
The Vec.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
What do you think of this team, Brady, with the new quarterback?
It's such a wild card because you go all the way back to Aaron Rodgers. What's been cool about my football experience is I've seen this. Aaron was a good player. Nobody ever expected him to become a first ballot Hall of Famer, especially under the circumstances of having to replace a Hall of Famer, which is rare.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBS. BBW and on the Civic Media app.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3.
Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Say both ways.
And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes.
I think it's indicates.
Indicative? Is that the word you were looking for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bright.
And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bright does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin!
Okay, there we go. Now I can hear myself. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board today. How are you doing, friend?
Doing well.
Doing well.
Yeah.
Happy Friday. It is my second to last Friday before I am signing off and handing over this big chair to Jane Matinair. Greg will be on the board for about 12 weeks.
Oh, goodness.
It is happening.
There's no going back now, friend.
Can I make a really dark joke?
I knew you were going to.
I don't typically have super dark humor. But Mike and I were joking around last night. This may be an insight into my marriage. But we were talking about the exciting news that was dropped yesterday with Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood, as of Monday, is going to resume abortion care and abortion services in Madison and Milwaukee. And we're actually going to be talking to CEO and president of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin, Tanya Atkinson, is going to be here at 11:30, which I'm so excited about. So we're going to hear more about all of the moving parts that went into that decision, what risks are still at play for doctors and providers, because the lawsuit itself is still in play. But we're going to be talking about that at 11:30. So we were talking about that together, Mike and I, and I think he's the one who said it. It sounds more like a him joke, if I'm going to be totally honest. He goes, well, at least we can still get that late-term abortion now.
Please direct all calls of upsetness to the Jay Weber Show on another radio station. Thank you.
And I was like, oh, man, should I make that joke on the internet? Probably not.
I mean, why not? You're free to do what you'd like, my friend.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because it's like, once again, a reminder, late abortion is not a thing. No one is at this stage in their pregnancy of where I'm at right now. And it's just like, well, I changed my mind. Good thing we have access to late term abortion.
You know, I thought this was a good idea, but 8.5 months in.
37 weeks. I can't do two more.
Yeah.
I've changed my mind.
You know, I heard there might be a Ted Lasso season 4. I got to prepare for that. I don't know.
Yeah. So anyways, that is one of many stories that broke yesterday. Yesterday was an insane day of Wisconsin news. And I just want to give credit to all the Capitol reporters who were running around like crazy people trying to cover everything yesterday. But here's just some of the stuff that happened yesterday in Madison. And then we're actually going to move on pretty quickly because I want to get to this question. But first, so Assembly Republicans advanced their fast track proposal to revamp how Wisconsin's political maps are drawn. So now that passed the nonpartisan, you know, Iowa style in name only proposal passed out of the assembly. It now goes to the Senate. I still have not heard much from senators.
No, they're
on this bill and where they stand on it. So that happened yesterday. The Wisconsin Senate also moved to fire Elections Administrator Megan Wolf.
which that sets the stage now for a legal battle because she's saying, I'm not stepping down until the court tells me that I have to step down, which likely it won't because it didn't with Fred Prehn, which is the precedent for this case, but they went ahead and tried to fire her anyways. Wisconsin Senate also votes to override the veto. If you remember back when Governor Evers had his line item veto about the 400 years funding for public schools.
Oh, yeah.
They voted to override that. So now that goes to the assembly. Planned Parenthood, like we said, is resuming abortion services on Monday. And the assembly also passed their measures to loosen child care regulations and rules.
And let me tell you something. When the whole Planned Parenthood announcement came down, I just want to really give a shout out, a hearty handshake and a golf clap to all the conservatives out there on Twitter who really took the news well. And
I didn't see much.
Oh my God. It was like the first half of the week was them complaining about the map, saying, well, this should be, you said you wanted to fear maps, now you're not good to fear maps. And immediately the moment that Planned Parenthood announced what they announced, they're like, they pooped their drawers and then they took to social media and just with the most incendiary language, just like the biggest sorest losers.
Who were some of the people that I should go see what?
Jay Weber. I mean, I don't follow him, but he has invaded my Twitter/X timeline.
There's a big difference if you go on the For You page.
Yeah.
Like the page where they're suggesting stuff to you versus just sticking to the people that you follow.
Yeah.
Because I find if you go on, no matter who you're following, the things that get, here, don't you, aren't you interested in this? Very right wing.
Yep.
Very anti-establishment.
Yes.
And it's like, how did I get here? This is not what I'm here for.
I did not sign up for this.
It was a big day in Wisconsin news. And after, you know, an August break, it does not seem like things are slowing down into the fall. And then obviously we get to ramp up for next year where there is going to be spring elections that there's obviously lots of spring elections. If this is the time, if you're thinking about running for school board or running for any local office, like very much encourage you to do so. We will be talking about plenty of those races and those that in the spring when I'm back from maternity leave. But obviously next year is a presidential election year and it's Wisconsin. And we still don't have a major. We have three fairly unknown Republican Senate candidates.
Yeah.
No, still no major ones.
No, I don't really think. I don't know.
How, if you're a betting man, when do you think there will finally be an announcement of someone who has a little bit more backing from the Republican Party than the three who have announced so far?
I would say around the holidays. You drop it around that late October, November time. Hi, I'm so-and-so. You remember me from my other things. So-and-so and such-and-such. This is my family. We love the holidays. We love family. You know, we love America.
With a gun.
With a gun. Yeah. Yeah. I saw a thing today that very weirded me out. I saw a guy with a bumper sticker that said coffee and guns. And then next to it was a bumper sticker that said teach peace. I didn't know how to take that.
Do you think it's a house divided?
It might be.
Also, it's a married couple that they're like, well, if you get that bumper sticker, I get this bumper sticker. And that's how we're going to make this work.
It's the only way I can marry a Bears fan. I was like, maybe they're like hunting. I don't know. And then part of me said, who cares? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Be happy.
Don't yuck their yum.
Don't
As
yuck
we love to say on this show.
They're yum. Those t-shirts and onesies are happening.
That's my project.
We have so many items in our non-existent merch store.
They're all in our head.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the story that I actually want to talk about is a combination of two big stories that I don't feel like got enough attention and actually have nothing to do with Wisconsin politics. But my question is, what can you trust these days? 844-967-2789. Like, what is left for public trust, or who do you actually trust? Because there's been two different stories that I think both, they're investigative journalism done very well, and both have to do with paying the people you're supposed to trust to give you advice. And one comes from Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. And it talks about the movie review aggregation site, Rotten Tomatoes. I'm sure you've been to it. And it's a place where you can go to see like tons of movie information. But like their homepage, they have this tomato meter. And it's like if it's over 60%, so over 60% of the movie critics said this was a good movie, it's a fresh movie. If it's under 60%, it's a rotten movie. And it's been around, man, I mean, that's like
25 years.
Is that exactly? Yeah. So because I remember checking that when I was acting. So like that was when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's probably, you know, when Roger and Ebert, you know, aren't around anymore. Now this is like their replacement, right? This is where a lot of people understand, like, what are the folks saying on whether or not this is a good movie? And it turns out that there's been a PR firm who's been paying for positive reviews to boost movie scores on Rotten Tomatoes. And so the summary there is allegations of financial incentives and manipulated critic scores have raised concerns about the integrity of review aggregate platforms, specifically involving one PR company called Bunker 15 and the popular site Rotten Tomatoes. And so the Bunker 15 is known as a smart tech publicity engine aimed at connecting filmmakers with journalists who then can amplify their project's visibility. And they're accused of being, of going, you know, a little beyond traditional publicity strategies by recruiting lesser known critics and paying them to submit a more positive score. So that's the first story. And then similar but different, the, you know, if you remember over the summer, the World Health Organization started to raise questions about aspartame, an artificial sweetener, and how really not healthy it is for you, even though it's, you know, it replaces sugar. And the Washington Post has now done a investigative journalism on different lobbying firms, like the sugar lobby and the beverage lobby, that's been paying influencers on TikToks who are registered dietitians. This is not just like someone who's like, I like to cook, so I'm starting a TikTok channel. This is people who are actually registered as dietitians who have been making videos saying, kind of pushing sugar, kind of saying, don't worry about aspartame. And it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to get paid to say it. And so my question kind of is, like, when it comes to reviews and critics and experts, who do you trust these days? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And what does it take to keep public trust? I just think it's a super interesting question. I'd love to hear from you with your texts, with your calls. We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a slight chance for scattered showers. Lows dip down to about 57. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 73. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow night. Lows around 54. Partly cloudy skies. Dry with temperatures a bit below average Sunday and Monday, and highs in the mid-60s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 64.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Welcome back to Matchroom Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Joe and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
I wanted to respond, Matt. Yesterday you were talking about your experiences in the Navy and the importance of having a strong leader and the importance of meeting a wide group of people that happened during your time in the Navy. And I just wanted to bring this up. I thought this was so fascinating. I want to talk about Tommy Tuberville and the actor Adam Driver, actor and former Marine Adam Driver. I couldn't figure out what got Tommy Tuberville so, all bent out of shape about this wokeness within our world. And he specifically pointed out in one interview that, quote, poetry is proof that the Navy needs to root out wokeness. So apparently in one of these aircraft carriers, they had poetry. And I mean, can you believe it, Matt, as a writer, poetry is proof that the Navy needs to root out wokeness? Hello. I mean, aren't there plenty of patriotic poems? Hello. Any rate, it turned out that they were having a spoken word contest on the aircraft carrier. And I don't know if you've ever been around these, but they're incredibly creative and interesting. They can be very funny, very emotional. But most importantly, they are a bonding sort of experience because people are together watching this performance of one of their fellow crew members. And this is what got his undies in a bundle. And I bring this up because I saw a TED Talk by the actor and, as I said, former Marine Adam Driver, and he talked about how his military experience, particularly meeting a wide and diverse group of people and the discipline that was part of the military, was absolutely central to who he became as an actor. You can see this TED Talk runs about 18 minutes, and it's just fascinating. He grew up poor. He came into the military after 9/11, like, hundreds, tens of thousands of people, of soldiers did. And during his time, he was in the Marines as an infantryman for 2.5 years, and sadly was despondent over the fact that he was medically separated after having a very bad break in his in one of the bones in his body, and it just prevented him from going on to service. But he said what he got out of his time in the military is that is useful in his acting life is there's a leader, there's a director, and you come together for a mission, a disparate group of people. You have to be disciplined. You have to complete the mission to do your part and do it well. And he just felt that it was absolutely central to who he became. And so central that he started this nonprofit group called Arts in the Armed Forces. He started it back in 2006. And had been running all the way up until the spring of this year of providing theatrical experiences, mainly monologues, scenes from plays, that sort of thing, for military people in the military, whether that be military families, whether it be veterans, whether it be people currently serving. And it was in this country and abroad. And the caliber of the people that participated included people like the actor Ben Stiller and Tom Hanks and Laura Linney. And he said it was another way for him to be of service and to the military, which had given him so much. So I just wanted you to hear this story in contrast to Tommy Tuberville, who you know, has never served and apparently doesn't understand what kind of bonding can go on through the arts. And so he was all upset that poetry is proof that the Navy needs to root out wokeness, whereas Adam Driver, a former Marine, came up with Arts in the Armed Forces and provided something, a beautiful something that brings people together. And I think the contrast is just stunning. So I wanted to pass that information on to you. I hope it's of some use. Thanks, man.
I always love your calls, and thank you. Thank you very much. And I'll give you some personal experience. I've been an aircraft carrier, and the thing is, Tommy Tuberville, I think, is doing this to injure our military and hurt Biden, and he gives excuses. When he's talking about poetry, I was on a much smaller ship, and we were docked in port, you know, say in Little Creek, Virginia, and there was this food truck that would come around selling sandwiches and soda and candy for sailors who had to stand the watch that evening, and the guy would announce his coming, and they would always use poetry, and this ain't great poetry, okay? So one guy thought he was quite a poet, an enlisted man, and whenever this truck had come down the pier, he would say, "The Roach Coach is making its approach." And he thought that was quite profound. But, you know, look, there's when you're in the military, there are long stretches of boredom with sudden bursts of exhilaration and terror is what it is. And for a guy who never served, to say that an aircraft carrier, which has 5,000 people on it, by the way, and it's always commanded by a full captain with an admiral on board, the flag officer, and the captain is ready to become an admiral himself, and none of them getting promoted by this guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He really doesn't know what he's talking about. So I can't thank you enough for that call. And thank you for the info on the actor and information if people want to see the podcast. But I'll tell you what, it has come to the point in the next couple of months, it'll be 600 flag officers that and senior officers are not getting promoted by a guy who never served. And I got to say something else. There are 100 senators. They have a thing called unanimous consent. They all get together and they say, any one of us can shut anything down. It builds their prestige. It appeals to their vanity. All it takes is the majority to say no. Not one person, now, because now you have people who are crooked, who are corrupt. You could have people who are bribed. Remember that Rohrabacher, the congressman from California, and Trump were suspected of taking Russian money by Kevin McCarthy said that. So if you have people who are corrupt, you can't let them shut things down. You can't shut our military down. So you put a new rule in, say, all right, we understand that some people are going to have issues with something, but not one person. It's got to be more like 25 or 30 or 40 people can say, whoa, whoa, but not one guy like this, who is an absolutely disgusting individual. We're coming to a break. Thanks for calling, Joe. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. All sides are expected back at the bargaining table Saturday as an historic UAW strike against GM, Ford, and Stellantis moves into a second day.
The first impact of the strike, Ford announcing it's laying off 600 workers, saying it's a consequence of the strike at the Michigan assembly plants, final assembly and paint departments, because the components built by those employees use materials that must be E-coated for protection.
ABC's Terry Moran in Wayne, Michigan. Special counsel Jack Smith's team is asking a federal judge to impose a narrow gag order on former President Trump. It would limit what he could say about the federal January 6th trial. Mr. Trump says it's an attempt to deprive him of his First Amendment rights. Tropical storm warnings are in effect from Massachusetts to Maine, with Hurricane Lee expected to bring strong wind, heavy rain, and rough surf to coastal New England. Officials in Hawaii are lowering the Maui death toll to 97. This is ABC News.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media,
do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Elfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I'm a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Matchroom Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, you're next. What's your line today, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for taking my call and for the great broadcasting that you do throughout our state. We are so blessed to have you to awaken us to all of the things that are going on in our state, and also giving us some format which to hear or have our voices heard. And I have to say, there's been a lot of things going on with telephones, even landlines. When I've tried to call, like Washington or the Republicans in our state. I just keep getting these busy signals, and I just it's kind of frustrating. You know, and then I'll try to call, you know, a long-distance number, and it doesn't work, and I use a landline phone and also internet interruptions and things. So maybe they're trying to get everything, you know, put together in our area. I don't know. But I want to tell you thank you so much for what you do and what the Republicans in our state did. Pathetic. They got lots of phone calls from a lot of us, and so then they go to fire Megan Wolf anyway. It is so, it's like a kick you in the face, Wisconsin. And I hope we all get together and vote these guys out, because this is unbelievable. Thank you, Matt, for all you do in educating us. Thank you. You have a good weekend, Matt.
Okay, have a good weekend. Thank you very much, Jean. Yeah. Mark from Massac, my friend. Thanks for calling. You're next, Mark. What's in your mind today?
It's amazing the detachment that it seems like the current Republicans have for, you know, both at the federal level and the state level, for the Constitution and for the law itself, and actually the truth itself. Because, you know, Devin LeMahieu talking about, maybe, well, the people in Wisconsin don't trust the vote results anymore, and like they're going to blame, and incredibly Megan Wolf for it. The only people that said the results should be questioned have been the Republicans, who have been claiming on and on and on for years now, in the face of lawsuits where they've gotten smacked down that there's nothing wrong with the elections. And their detachment from, I think they've gone back to think that they're little kings and queens, and that they have divine right, you know, ordained by God. So to question them, to question their authority, to even quite, you know, to rebel against their authority is defying God. And that it is just, I mean, for gosh sakes, I think DeSantis had some minister come in and speak to, I think what there was a Disney board down there, and give them a lecture on that, you know, by defying, more or less defying the governor is defying the will of God. It is just their detachment from the understanding of that we are a secular democracy in this country.
Right. Yeah, no, excellent comment, Mark. And just build on that a little. In the last hour when I was sitting in for Todd Albaugh, we did talk about Megan Wolf. She is terrific. And really what LeMahieu and the Republicans are doing, quite frankly, is they're saying there are people in this state who don't trust the elections, and because Trump lied. Therefore, we're going to fire the only honest person we have running these elections, Megan Wolf, and then we'll put in somebody like Trump, and then confidence will be restored. These people are servile. They are servile. They are afraid of primaries, just like Voss was afraid when some guy came out of the blue and ran against him and came within about a point or two of beating him. They're all afraid. It's all very disgusting. Megan Wolf is going to stay on. Josh Call has brought a lawsuit. It'll go to the Supreme Court. Janet Protasiewicz will sit on it. And I am confident it'll be 4-3 and maybe even 5-2. Brian Hagedorn could step up to the plate. And we have got to have honest elections in this state. And that isn't Devin LeMahieu and Voss. It's Megan Wolf. Because there was a hearing, and the clerk from Janesville came in and said, Megan Wolf's terrific. You know, there are almost 2,000 clerks that Megan Wolf has to speak to, answer questions, respond to, and all that. And if you put somebody in there like a Gableman type, which is what they want to do, with their goal, and keep this in mind, absolutely keep this in mind, is to drive down the vote. They had the one fellow on the Wisconsin Election Commission who said that he was proud that the African-American Latino vote in Milwaukee had been lower. He was proud of that. He was proud of that. This isn't a political party. This is simply a cult worshiping Trump. And what they are going to do is interfere. If they put in a corrupt administrator, they're going to interfere with student voting, especially in Dane County and Milwaukee, but in Eau Claire and elsewhere. They're going to interfere with things like what kind of IDs they have to show. The whole idea is to drive down the vote. And then there'll be lawsuits, and the Supreme Court will correct them. But how much work do you expect Janet Protasiewicz and the others to do? Are they supposed to 24/7 sit there and essentially be the administrators themselves? if you put in corrupt actors, they will find a way. A rotten apple will corrupt the entire barrel of apples. And that's the way it works, and that's what they're trying to do. The Republican Party, and I cannot understand this, they've gotten rid of their Liz Cheney's, Adam Kinzinger's, they've gotten rid of their Romney's, Mitt Romney, and they're left with these people. They're servile, mendacious, they're committed to a cult of fraud, and they are really hurting American democracy. I want to get back. I talked before about the First Amendment and the attacks on the lawsuit against the Wausau paper, the Wausau Pilot and Review. The six tarantulas on the U.S. Supreme Court, and you must keep this in mind, are a little sharper, they're sneakier than state Republicans here who just come right out and try to use a hatchet to get what they want. Three of the tarantulas, which is Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch, are on the record as saying they would like to overrule New York Times versus Sullivan, which would ultimately result in most newspapers and TV stations being driven out of business by billionaires funding fraudulent lawsuits, or they'd be just very antiseptic. And you as a citizen would get sued if you questioned your alderman, your county supervisor, your congressman about his motivations and what he was doing. But the tarantulas are not dumb. Tarantulas know at some point you can go too far. And so here's what they just did, and keep this in mind. The Republicans had brought a lawsuit against Biden and down in the Fifth Circuit, and down south, asking the judge, believe it or not, to require Biden, to enjoin Biden and to enjoin everybody in his administration from not contacting any social media on matters of public policy, because it would, quote, intimidate them. That's I'm not kidding. That's what they said. The trial judge, Trump guy, said, yeah, and entered the injunction. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals approved the injunction, prohibiting Biden and anybody in his administration from contacting any social media outlet about public issues. That is so violative of the First Amendment, so violative of New York Times versus Sullivan, that Biden, who's a stand-up guy, what I would have done is said, screw you, done what I wanted, and if the judge didn't like it, send him to Guantanamo. But, I'm speaking a little bit extravagantly. I mean, you have to understand that radio is a hot medium. TV is a cool medium. Radio, you overstate things by 10%. TV, you understate them by 10%. So take with that with a grain of salt, but not that big a grain of salt, quite frankly. But Biden did the smart thing. He appealed to the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court. Now, yes, there are tarantulas. But the tarantulas understand. And by the way, the Solicitor General is a woman named Prologar, and she just appeared at the UW-Madison Law School this week. And I had the pleasure at the Fairchild Lecture of attending it, listening to her. And then there's a dinner afterwards. She was terrific, absolutely terrific. Biden's Solicitor General. In any event, in her brief, she pointed out that if this injunction is permitted to stay, the Surgeon General could be held in contempt whenever he comments on medical matters. Biden's press secretary could be held in contempt. The Center for Disease Control, if they answered platform questions about public health, even if they told the truth, and the FBI, if they flagged a contact by a terrorist or a foreign actor like Russia or China, and just contacted social media asking their voluntary cooperation to turn it over. There is a procedure in the U.S. Supreme Court where one justice can stop a lower opinion till the rest of them get a chance to look at it. And the justice who stopped it, they did stop it, so now it's not effective until the rest of the court can consider it, is probably the chief, well, I can't say he's the chief tarantula, it's Alito. I mean, Clarence Thomas is a pretty substantial tarantula himself, and so is Gorsuch. But Alito stopped it. Why did he stop it? Think he didn't agree with it? On the contrary, he's already been on record saying he wants to overrule New York Times versus Sullivan. He wants to attack the freedom of the press. So is Clarence Thomas, so is Neil Gorsuch. But I think he realized that if they permit a decision, a Trump-like decision, to persist, where the FBI is held in contempt, if they try to follow up on a terrorist or a foreign enemy of ours posting things on our social media to screw up our country, or they hold the Surgeon General in contempt, or the Center for Disease Control, or the President's press secretary, or the President himself for commenting on something in social media, at some point, you get 1790 in France. At some point, you get 1649 in merry old England. At some point, enough is enough. And I think what's happening here is that they are liable, and I'm assuming the three Democrats will do the right thing. And I suspect that Roberts and probably Kavanaugh are perceptive enough to know that tarantulas can go too far. Tarantulas can go too far. When you try to shut down your own government from commenting on social media or contacting social media and public policy, you're effectively overruling New York Times versus Sullivan. You're effectively overruling free speech. You're effectively overruling the First Amendment. So that did happen. Alito stepped in and stand by. But what I would like everybody to take away from all of this is that the attacks that are happening, the stripping of liberties and the Dobbs decision and Citizens United in Shelby County, where they gutted the Voting Rights Act, that's just the start of this thing. The holy grail of an authoritarian culture is to take away your freedom of free speech and to take away the freedom of the press. Because when you have a press that is captive, like in China, North Korea, Cuba, Russia, and so forth, it eventually ends up that people then are not just sued by billionaires to bankrupt them, but they're actually arrested, or their relatives are arrested. The Republican Party is unrecognizable. In Romney's autobiography, which I discussed in the previous hour when I was a guest host with my good friend Todd Albo, he said, there are very few people in the Republican Party anymore who believe in the Constitution, end quote. And this is a guy who was their presidential nominee in 2012, who was elected governor of the most liberal state in the country, Massachusetts, and elected senator in the most conservative state in the country, Utah. So you take him at his word. We're coming to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. There'll be a lot more back after the break.
I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered showers overnight. Otherwise, cloudy. Lows around 57. Winds out of the southwest around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms. Highs around 73. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows level off around 54. Partly cloudy. Dry with temperatures a bit below average Sunday and Monday, and highs in the mid-60s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 64.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flinder Picture. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to highlight one other issue. It's an important issue, something Donald Trump just did. Believe it or not, he sued a judge in a case that he's involved in with Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, to delay the case till after the election in 2024. He actually sued the judge. Brought a lawsuit against the judge, for denying his motions and denying what he wanted. In other cases, he's attacked the judges personally. He's attacked their wives. He's attacked their daughters in some cases. They need security. Jack Smith had to sell his house and go into a witness protection, basically, type thing with his wife and family. He is attacking the foundations of our justice decision or system. Let me look at New York, though. You can't sue a judge. There is complete immunity on the part of a judge. And the reason for that is a good reason. Let's say the judge rules against you on a motion, or he finds you guilty, and then on appeal it's reversed. You can't sue him for defamation. You can't sue him for libel for saying right in front of the public courtroom that you committed a crime. That's one example. Another example, if he makes a mistake, you can't sue him. If he commits fraud, if he were bribed, you can't sue him. The remedy there is he goes to jail and he pays the price. But you can't have mini lawsuits and lawsuits, or billionaires would always be suing judges. Well, Trump says he's a billionaire and he's suing the judge. They're saying out there now that, well, because he sued him, this delays the whole thing. Because Letitia James, this is a civil fraud trial, by the way. This is not the criminal case against him. It's a civil fraud trial. He'd have to pay damages. And this is the case where he lied about the value of his assets to get loans from banks and to pay less taxes. So he'd go to the bank, he'd say it's worth a gajillion dollars. And then on the tax returns, he'd say it's hardly worth anything, relatively speaking. And that's, you know, exaggerating to some extent, but that's the range. And you can't do that with federally insured banks, and you can't do that with taxing authorities. And so she brings a suit. Well, he sues the judge. At some point, I think what's happening is these appellate courts are looking on this as normal. This isn't normal. This is in bad faith. You almost have to, with him, enter an injunction from the start that says you can't sue the judge, you can't sue the DA, you can't sue jurors without the prior permission of the court. You can't even file it. You have to have your attorney send a draft, and you are prohibited from doing it. You are prohibited from attacking the prosecutor, the judge, threatening violence. And if he does any of that, he has to be put in jail. Now, that's what would happen to you or me. That was what would happen to the mafia, the drug cartel. It would happen to jihadists. With him, somebody made a good point, and let me just deconstruct it right now. For instance, the Tanya Chutkan, the great judge in Washington, he has come, they say close to the line, way over the line, in my opinion, attacking and insulting the whole process and the judge, and brought a motion to throw the judge off the case. The point was made by somebody that, how do you put him in jail? He has a Secret Service detail for life. So does his wife. So what? You have what, 10 jail cells, and he's in one of them, and 9 Secret Service agents take turns sleeping in the other ones. You give him a big jail cell. The alternative that was proposed was that he be given a bracelet and put under house or home arrest. Now, that would be luxurious. You know, he'd eat better than prisoners and all that, but he would be confined to his house. I personally don't think he would be confined to his house. I think he'd cut the bracelet off, that happens, and say, the heck with you, and he'd go out and he'd campaign. And then they would say, you'd bring him in for contempt again, put him back under house arrest with another bracelet, and he'd cut that one off too. He claims that he has a First Amendment right to speak and to run for president. He does, but you don't have a First Amendment right to threaten the president, public official, a judge, a prosecutor, a juror, or a witness. That is a criminal offense. That is a criminal offense. So what do you have? What do you do with a presidential candidate is apparently head in his own primary, who is frankly a criminal, has criminal instincts, doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, takes and grabs whatever he can, whenever he wants it, steals what he wants, betrays what he wants, and what? Part of the Republican Party thinks that's normal? That's the guy they want? I think Chutkan has to ultimately, she's probably going to be the one that does it, has to just bite the bullet, bring him in, house arrest and bracelet. He'll complain. He'll boast about it. He'll show it on television, all that. And when he lies and says, I'll stay there, cuts the bracelet, slips off, do it again. Maybe hold in contempt anybody who assisted him. There's a little known law that if you help a fugitive, you've committed a felony. And this is sad because it frequently happens in families where somebody commits a crime and goes to his mother's house to get a change of clothing and a meal. She's liable for a felony. They frequently don't prosecute it. Prosecute the people that help them, that transport them. At some point, you have to get control of a criminal. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great call as always. Really appreciate the callers. Have a good weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn Direct. We're back same time, same place on Monday. Signing off for today. Stand by for Dom and Crute. Another great show coming up. You used to be so amused at Napoleon in rags and the language that he used. Go to him now. He calls you. You can't refuse. You got nothing to lose. You're invisible now. You got no secrets to conceal. How does it feel? Ah, how does it feel to be on your own with no direction home, like a complete unknown? Like a
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Mark